Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "Well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself." And he said to him, "You've given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, who, while travelling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" he said. He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do thou likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, folks, it's time to welcome in our preacher this morning. Welcome to those of you who've just joined us as well. It's time to say good morning to our churchwarden extraordinaire, Tim Barnes. Good morning, Tim. Oh, hang on, sorry, one sec. Let's try it again. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Andrew. Good morning, everybody. How are you all today?
Hey, I think hot is the word, Tim, already.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to what you've got to share. So I'm going to duck out. Tim, we are all yours.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you, Andrew. So today we have two wonderful pieces of scripture, both delivering a call to action to the religious communities of their time and resonating through history for Christians today. In Luke chapter 10, we hear the parable of the Good Samaritan, a well-known parable for all of us. And it's a direct call from Jesus to care for the uncared and show mercy to all those in need as part of a set of behaviours needed to be right with God. In fact, you could say it's Jesus' clarification of God's original commandments 5 to 10. So I'm not going to unpick Luke chapter 10 too much today. I would like to focus a little bit more on Psalm 82, because it's resonating for me. One reason, because I read the Psalms regularly at the moment. That's part of my Bible reading program for the year. And secondly, because it kind of strikes me that this is where we are. So Psalm 82, it's an ancient prayer or hymn, if you like, that would have been set to music, like lots of the Psalms, and was sung corporately in a setting similar to the way that we sing our hymns in church. Probably written somewhere between 700 and 600 BC by Asaph, and I hope I've said that right. If not, Andrew will correct me afterwards. Who was the court recorder? He was a court recorder and a musician, so not really a prophet, but someone who recorded what the court did and advised the king. And he was the court recorder and musician to King Hezekiah, one of David's most righteous sons. And you might know that David had a few good sons and a few bad sons and a few really bad sons. So Hezekiah was probably one of the best ones, and he really tried to bring God back to the people. Because during this time, the people of Israel, or just before that time actually, the people of Israel had demanded from God to be subjects of a king like their neighbours. So the reason is they didn't want the freedom that God was offering them. They didn't want the freedom to make their choices based on being in a direct relationship with God. They wanted to hand that responsibility over to someone else, someone who would tell them what to do. So, I mean, God wasn't particularly happy about that, but eventually he let that happen, and they had the judges, and then eventually they had the kings and King David's line. So Psalm 82, obviously in this line of kings, there was right behaviours and wrong behaviours. And Psalm 82 is about spiritual revival. Spiritual revival in Judah after a period of the nation's denial of their relationship with God. And they'd also been worshipping idols and destroying godly temples and making temples to other false gods. So it was written after a period of these bad kings who had led the nation astray through their vanity and greed. So let's have a little bit of a look at the psalm itself. So in verse 1, Asaph states that God is supreme over all. So that's Asaph stating something. And then verse 2, he takes a turn and he starts to speak for God. So he's being God's voice, if you like, and asking the people of Israel on God's behalf. And he's saying, why are they letting the kings and rulers abuse the poor and the oppressed? And he says, how long will you let injustice go on? So God is asking that to the nation. In verse 3 and 4 is God's call to action. And he's demanding from the people, or he's demanding from the people and the rulers, defend the weak, rescue the needy, rescue the poor and the helpless. And then it takes a turn in verses 6 and 7, and God addresses the oppressors directly. And he's saying, he's accusing them of being ignorant and being misguided, and reminding them they are mere mortals like all of God's people. And then in the final verse, verse 8, Asaph reverts back to addressing God directly in prayer. And he's saying, rise up, O God, and judge the earth, for all nations belong to you. So it's an interesting psalm. It's some of it's God talking directly through Asaph, and some of it's Asaph trying to remind the people. So how does that relate to us in 21st Britain? That's the question I'm asking this morning. So we do live in a totally different time, but we still have the oppressed and the broken. And sure, we have a queen, but we live in a democracy where we can vote and we impact the well-being of the world. And we have choices to call out what we see as wrong. And we have financial wealth to share and donate. But it's as if Psalm 82 was written directly for this week. We could shout verse 3 and 4 directly at our parliament today. Give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and the helpless. Deliver them from the grasps of evil people. So that was the shout of Asaph the shout of God to the people of Israel. And like Asaph, we have the responsibility of prayer. Now, to be honest, sometimes I can hardly get past praying for myself and my family, or reciting the Lord's Prayer, or just reciting words that I know, because I find prayer difficult in that way. But we must, and we should, and we must, and we can put others in our prayers in a similar fashion to this psalm. So we can pray for those who do hold power over others. I have read about the persecuted Christians of North Korea praying for the well-being and spiritual deliverance for Kim Jong-un. Now, I can't imagine being in one of those camps where they are being contained and persecuted and still having the mental forethought to pray for the spiritual well-being of someone who is personally destroying your life. So we can pray for organizations that work to relieve suffering, like UNICEF or Mercy Ships or Médecins Frontières. There's just a few we can name. We can pray for their mission vision. We can pray for their personal safety. We can pray for their well-being in their work. And we can pray for their financial security. It's not just about giving money, it's about praying for them too. We can pray for Putin. I know that sounds odd, doesn't it? We can pray for our leaders, for their insights, for their compassion, for a breaking of their heart to God's will. That's how I pray for Putin. We can pray for our whole political system, that we have leaders who have the welfare of the entire nation at heart. We can pray that money and the economy doesn't become an end in itself, but a tool for God's use. In this way, this ancient psalm does relate to the historical parable of Jesus in Luke 10. Whereas Luke 10 speaks of individual action, like the things that we all do, donating to the food bank, volunteering for community projects, caring for neighbours, helping strangers in need on the street, and giving to charity, those are personal actions that we take. Psalm 82 talks of corporate behaviour and corporate prayer. So I suppose corporate behaviour would be our votes, who we vote for, what's our political alignment. And then, of course, corporate prayer. That's how we pray, maybe together in church, but also as we pray as individuals, because we are part of the church as a corporate. So that's my interpretation of Psalm 82 today, and my understanding of how it is the community version of Luke 10. So let us pray. Jesus, we petition you with your almighty power. Bring healing and peace to Russia and Ukraine. Renew the political direction of Sri Lanka with leadership that will work to restore stability for the people. Revive the spiritual heart of our political system in this country. Help all those who have power and have influence over the plight of immigrants coming to this country, that they may have compassion and justice in their hearts when they're considering actions and legalities that affect their plight. We pray for our local council, that they may strive to build community in our local area. Strengthen those who lead our NHS, that they may have energy and vitality to keep going. We pray for those who lead in education, that they may have the child well-being focused agenda. We pray for the group holidays, activities and food project, that they may have plenty of volunteers and helpers throughout the summer break to help vulnerable children in our community. And we pray for our Queen, that her Christian beliefs may permeate through her family and into the future. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Tim, thank you.